The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
That's right. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We're back in for another Redskins win, another week in first place. It could be a three-way tie by the end of the night. Got to see what the Giants are going to do. But one way or the other, the Redskins in first place along with the Eagles in the NFC East. Kevin, what's up?
Well, what's up is we have not done this show after a two-game winning streak yet.
Right.
We're still in first place, but come on now. Let's keep it real, you all. I mean, we're in first place, and you can't. They don't say how. They ask who, right?
You know? Right. They don't ask how you win. They don't ask who you beat. You know, people thought, you know, well, you haven't really beaten anyone. Well, if you get enough wins against no one, then that still counts
and
gets you into the playoffs.
Because there's no ones they're getting paid to, right? They're getting paid to, and they're trying to make the playoffs. So, yes, we're in first place. Yes, yes, we're on our way to the playoffs. But let's keep it in perspective, folks.
That's right, and perspective is exactly what we want to try to bring here on this fine quality football broadcast here on the Federal Football Report. So the Redskins beat the Bears, go to Chicago, get the first win on the road, 24-21. Third quarter looked a little shaky, but we're going to try to break this down, of course, as always, all three phases of the game, all four quarters, and we'll talk about the global perspective. Also, I think we're going to do like a holiday party review. It's the holiday season.
It is that
We've
season.
Both been to corporate parties. We have we'll share our experiences without incriminating anyone or any of the parties.
Keep it as real as possible.
What we do here. We keep it real here on the Federal Football Report. Also, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a good friend, Rodney Henderson, in studio, Giants fan. And so we like to bring guests in the studio. And so we have that sneeze you just heard. That's my three-year-old. He's going to try to bring the same level of dignity and analysis that Rodney did, which shouldn't be hard because he's a Giants fan.
Right. I understand.
The intellect is that of a three-year-old.
So could be tied for first place after the end of the night.
By so we got to keep it in the NFC. East at 6-7. 9-7 can win. 9-7 will likely win the division if anyone can get to 9-7. 8-8 will win the division.
I'll take it.
Man, I mean, I think 7-9 could even win the division,
but we'll take
a look at that. So, in the first quarter, at least the first 2 to 3 drives, the Redskins looked like they were going to come out and just be gangbusters against the Bears, almost a repeat of the Saints game.
It looked that way. As a matter of fact, I could not understand why. It looked like the Bears almost didn't see any film of this game, right? You know, because they just weren't there. It was so easy. It was almost frightening. Of course, they still can't establish a run for some reason. They still can't run the ball, but they just move the ball at will against the Bears.
Right. No, exactly. And what was more interesting was the fact that so the offense was hitting on all cylinders. The running game was still not there, but the Skins were still able to move the ball, and the defense stood up big. And then all of a sudden, it's as if it was you saw two Redskins teams, one that you saw against the Saints, and the next thing you know, the Cowboys game Redskins came up where they couldn't move the ball and couldn't do anything, and we saw the turnover from Kirk Cousins when the Redskins was up, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go again.
You know, I have a theory about the running game. I don't want to throw it on you just yet. I'm going to save that for a little bit later in the show. But you know, I think that the lack of confidence they're showing in Alfred Morris in terms of even sticking with the run or putting him in a position to do what he does best, it's a little disturbing. And, you know, do we put your complete confidence in Matt Jones just yet? You know, I know I'm a forgiving person and all that, but you know, you either we ride with him or we don't, right? Every time he comes to the game, it's, let's hold on to it, Matt. You know,
the thing that confuses me so much about the whole running back situation is that Alfred Morris hasn't given anyone a reason to think he's not the guy or couldn't be the guy. And I know running backs don't have a long lifespan in the NFL, and it's been a few years since he's been here. But at the same time, he hasn't shown signs, to me, of slowing down. I mean, I would blame a lot of it. I mean, you're dealing with a certain type of offensive line. You're dealing with a certain type of play call. And now he's not even getting a lot of carries. I don't think he's shown that he can't play in this league or that you have to look in another place. And he hasn't shown that he needs a running back by committee type situation where he needs a change of pace back. They're the same type of back. Like, I don't understand why you can't be consistent with
them. You know, isn't it incredible to think that against the Bears in this season, in this 2015-16 season, the Bears game was the first time Alfred Morris has seen the end zone this year?
Unbelievable. This late in the season. What is that, 13 games in?
It's incredible.
The first game
That's right.
Federal Football Report. Again, he's Kevin Stanfield. I'm Claude Jennings, talking about the Redskins' 24-21 win. And so that has kind of been the theme when we talk about identity. And the Redskins still seem to be a team searching for identity. I mean, I think if you know who you are, even if you were to do running backs by committee, you would see a lot more production, I think, from that. And it would seem more like that's the plan, as opposed to we're just going week to week, figuring out what we're going to do. 1 week, you know, we'll see Alfred Morris with 24 carries. The next week, we see him with 6. I mean, you would see a dedication to whatever that plan would be if you already had it figured out.
I heard the coach say last week, and I'm pretty close to quoting him verbatim, is, I don't really care who we got back there.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to kind of care who you got back there, right?
It matters a little bit.
Right, right. That's mm-hmm. the whole purpose of having a depth chart, right? We got to know who number one is, got to know who number two is. If these guys are that identical and that interchangeable, well, I haven't seen that. I mean, not since the days of, you know, way back. I go back to the 70s when you had Larry Zonka and Jim Kick and Mercury Morris. You had three guys who each one of them brought something different, right? But you in talking about identity, you have to establish who in your mind this team is, and you have to let your team know mm-hmm. who they are, right?
And you have to let your guy know that he's the guy. You know what I mean? I mean, we talk about it all the time with the quarterback position, but I imagine it's the same every other position. No one plays comfortably with, you know, knowing that someone's looking over their shoulder, or if playing time's in question, or if my role's in question. It's not even really about who's number one, who's number two. It's just knowing your role. People are more comfortable in what we have to do when you know your role. We use this analogy when we're talking about basketball. I mean, you can look at a team and, you know, they'll have a superstar or two, but when that whole team effort, even when you look at the Golden State Warriors, you got Steph Curry, but you got a ton of guys on that team who know what their role is, and everybody plays their role. It's important for a guy to know what his role is, and if 1 week is a 25-yard carry game for me, and then the next week I don't even know why I'm not getting any touches, I don't know what my role is.
Right. Now, one guy who
And no one else knows what my role is on the team.
Right. Yeah. Well, but you look at it this way, the other team doesn't know what your role is. So
we got an advantage.
Game, right? Yeah. One guy who has definitely learned what his role on this team is Jordan Reed. Now, Jordan Reed came up, he had a Pro Bowl quality showing yesterday. I believe he caught 9 passes for like $125. And we said this before, the other teams in this league have not been watching the film, because Jordan Reed just continues to run wide
open. And that's the thing. And maybe they haven't been watching it because it's hard to find enough film with him healthy and on the field to know exactly what he's capable of doing. But you know, when you have Jordan Reed on the field, you have a matchup issue with the other team, because there aren't any linebackers fast enough to guard him. There aren't any safeties or cornerbacks big enough to body him up and to stop him. And so you have a matchup issue. And you know that when you've got DeSean Jackson on the field, you've got a deep set. But again, how healthy can he be? And it looks like he may even miss. I mean, again, this show, the Federal Football Report, is recorded, and so some news could change by the time this airs, or by the time you hear it on the website, on the podcast. But how many games will DeSean give the team? And that's not even just the next 3 games trying to win the division question. That's a moving forward question. That's a, what are we going to do about this team, or what are we going to do about DeSean Jackson's role on this team moving forward? Is he someone you want to bring on for another 2 years, or is it like, you know what, we kind of want to move on? He hasn't played that much since being here.
Well, you got to look at it, like I said, keeping it real, look at this realistically. The reason Jordan Reed is open across the middle, the reason that Matt Jones can come in the second half and gain a bunch of yards, is DeSean Jackson, because DeSean Jackson is just terrifying the opposing defense, because we've seen what happens when defensive coordinators have a lapse in judgment and say, we're going to cover DeSean with one man. They make him pay every single time. So DeSean is eating up 2 guys. They have to game plan for DeSean Jackson. They have to account for him. Now, I brought up Jordan in particular right after we talked about the running game, because I'm thinking that this is part of the reason that the running game isn't as effective as it could be because if you look at Jordan Reed's game, he's fluid, very agile, very fast, gazelle-like. He ain't doing a lot of blocking, right?
Right. Well, we talked about that last week.
Right, you know, when
you have to have certain packages where you bring in another tight end or bring in an offensive lineman who can be, you know, deemed as an eligible receiver simply because you don't have confidence that your number one guy, your number one tight end, isn't going to seal that corner. That's an issue.
Now, is it that they're not asking him to? Does he feel like, well, if I waste time blocking, that's like 2 or 3 seconds. I'm not out here in my route. I heard you all. I hate to confess this, but I do listen to other radio shows just to see what you all are being fed. Now I've heard you all call these shows and start comparing Jordan Reed to Gronk, and that's just not right, right?
No,
because Gronk will block. Gronk will take on a defensive end. Gronk will take on the linebacker. Gronk will block a cornerback and still catch the pass. Gronk will catch the ball to a three people hanging on him, right? Jordan will catch it in space. Now, we saw that ill-fated pass that Kirk threw late in the game for some ungodly reason. It just went up in the air.
Lapse in judgment.
Right. We call it a Kirk judgment, you know, because he does that once a game regardless, right? But so let's hold on to those comparisons between Jordan and Gronkowski, right? It's just not there yet. And if he wants to be the complete football player, he's going to have to do a better job at that. He's going to have to make them respect him in both aspects, and down there in the trenches or in the open space. If he can't, split him out wide beside the shoulder, right? You know, that's still going to be a matchup problem right there. I mean, because he's put a tight end there. And then we got to jump back to the fact that a carrier got hurt too and is out for the season, right?
So the
tight end position on this team has been snake bit for a couple of years now from the ill-fated decision-making of Fred Davis.
Correct.
Right. Niles Paul, who was coming into his own last season as a tight end, who was a converted wide receiver, who went down early with a season-ending knee injury.
That's right.
Now carrier, and it's just, and then Jordan Reed in and out. Jordan Reed has been healthy this year. I think he was out a little earlier, but.
Yeah, he missed a few games, but not much.
So the tight end position has been, maybe they're asking these guys to do too much. Maybe they're putting their bodies in a position where they're damaging themselves or something, right? But it has been a position that has had problems for this team this season. But you got to give Reed credit. Now, he's producing. He is producing stat-wise. Now, he's gaining. He's opening up the defense. He's causing matchup problems. He's creating situations with teams with inferior talent. He didn't seem to have that free range against the Panthers, or the Patriots, right? He just didn't seem to be as open and as free or something when people actually tried to stop him. But you know, we got him now. We're going to take advantage of him. We 6-7, but we're still in first place.
Absolutely. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. He's Kevin Stanford. I'm Claude Jennings. Talking burgundy and gold, 24-21 in Chicago. Redskins 7-6. 6-7, excuse me. Tied for first place in the NFC East.
We're number one.
Exactly. And maybe the Giants, depending on what they do tonight, Monday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins. So if you're listening to this on any other day other than Monday, because you listen back to the podcast or online, then you already know what happened.
But it's still good. Whenever you're listening to it, it's still good.
Yeah, 24-7. And be sure to recommend the show to all of your friends. Now, we mentioned the run game. Just for numbers' sake, Matt Jones, 18 carries, 62 yards. Alfred Morris, 11 carries, 24 yards. Kirk Cousins, 4 carries, 13 yards. He had a touchdown. Also, Alfred Morris had a touchdown.
The touchdown. The
touchdown. So here's the thing. And again, because it's been such a weird season, with the NFC East being so bad, the up and down, I mean, we've got teams tied for first place at 6-7. The question remains, and we've asked this probably for the last 4 weeks in a row, Kevin, what does this win mean? You know, other than being tied for first place, what does this win mean?
Well, don't fool yourself. I mean, yeah, okay, granted, we get another playoff game, right? What we might get is the irony, if you look at it, if the season ended tomorrow and we're in first place, you look at the irony of maybe having the Seahawks come back to RFK, which was
the last playoff game with the RG, when all the controversy started.
All began, right? Russell Wilson coming back. Russell Wilson, who, by the way, in the past four games has thrown 16 touchdown passes with no picks. Just saying.
They found their rhythm.
Right. Yeah. We're looking at the possibility of that show coming to town, right? So let's keep it real. Now, on that same token, when the Seahawks began their rise to prominence was the season. Now, let me take you all back in history. The season, Russell Wilson's rookie season, they were playing the Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football, and their record was bad, whatever it was. And then the last play of the game, Russell Wilson threw a Hail Mary pass, threw it into the end zone, which should have been ruled an interception. But the replacement refs ruled it a touchdown.
Right.
That loss kept Green Bay out of the playoffs and launched Seattle into the playoffs.
Right. No, absolutely.
I mean, it was early
game.
In the season now, but that wasn't the game.
Might have even been the first game of the year.
Could have been. But, you know, so that's what we're looking at if the thing ended today, right? Yeah, everybody wants to make the playoffs. We want to be playing when the other teams are at home watching. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. It's not just making the playoffs. We're trying to build a championship team here. You know, we're going back to the days of yesteryear, right?
You know? Because, I mean, when you think about it, like you said, I mean, we made the playoffs in 2012, and now we're still in, you know, and then since then, there's been a lot of drama and disappointing losing seasons. And so, like you said, it's not just about making the playoffs for 1 year just to play one game and get eliminated, or even sneak past the first round and get eliminated in the second round. It's about how to build a sustaining, winning organization again, to bring back the pride to the Burgundy and Gold, the way the city used to have. I mean, when I grew up, Joe Gibbs era number one. And so I'm used to that Burgundy and Gold winning. I'm used to, that's what I saw. But then there's a whole generation under me that has not seen a winning organization. I mean, I know some mid-20-year-olds who have never seen the Redskins win.
The RG3 year was the year. And that's what he brought to this organization, because mediocrity was just the flavor of the day around here.
And that would be good. We could almost get to mediocrity. That's a good season.
Yeah, let's get to a consistent 8-8. Right? We'll be happy, right? Remember when it was saying, like, breaking the hurdle of 6-10, or what was it, 5-11? That was a milestone, right? You know, that was a milestone. We can't look at stuff like that if we want to win to develop a dynasty around here, or at least some type of a franchise, something, you know, be on the names in the NFL, be on the nationally
something
televised game.
Something to be proud about.
Something, right? Be relevant.
Now, I think the question is, and again, you're listening to the Federal Football Report. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanford. We're going to look at the rest of the schedule for the Washington Redskins a little later on in the show. We'll talk about holiday parties as well. But the question also remains, you know, when we talk about the Redskins, no matter what it looks like right now with the with them being tied for the lead in the NFC East and the possible playoffs or whatever, you know, we are talking about rebuilding something here, you know.
Yes.
We are talking about trying to build a franchise. So the question is, you know, from where they were last year, all the drama in the offseason, do you believe this team is getting better?
Absolutely.
That's the question.
Absolutely. That's what I believe, because you look at those guys like, you look at guys like Quentin Dunbar and Will Compton and Mason Foster. I mean, have you heard of any of those guys?
Well, see, right? And this is some of the stuff you were talking about last year. You said there's got to be some young guys on this team who want to play football, who you know, win or lose, they're going to go out there and give effort. They're going to look like they want to play. And you are seeing, because even with Deshaun out earlier, we saw Jamison Crowder. We saw young guys stepping up, which could give confidence that, you know what, this team has the ability now with the new GM to find talent, you know, in those later rounds that may not have the big name, but they can come in and play NFL football.
Scott McClendon, I heard a guy say today, he's always looking for talent, whether it's due to injury or just to improve the team. They said there's like one of those little like tour buses is pulling up the Redskin Park with somebody in it every single day.
And I think we can find somebody who can fold these towels better.
Yeah,
let's bring in some towels.
Yeah, you gotta love
but
that.
You know what? That's one thing that can never be under that winning attitude. I was reading an article last year about how things change in Foxborough once the playoff starts. That not just the coaches and the players for the Patriots have a sense of urgency, but that the owner wants everyone in the building to have a sense of urgency. The people in the cafeteria have a sense of urgency by which you cook the food and all the other kind of stuff or whatever. People who open the doors, like parking lot attendants, everybody has to work with a sense of urgency because we're all in the playoffs. And that's that's the kind of attitude I think that those winning franchises have. And so, I mean, we can laugh all day about who's folding the tiles, but I mean, you know, you want folks in there, and that's kind of a trivial thing to kind of compare, but that's what we're talking about when it's like, everyone in this organization, you know, you want winners, you know, people who want to win. And everyone gets that sense of urgency. I thought that was such an interesting article that the owner's like, hey, everybody in this building goes to playoff mode when we're in the playoffs.
So you don't want your quarterback to have an attitude that sounds something like this?
It feels good to win, especially on the road. It's not an easy thing to do. And felt like it took the whole team. It took special teams plays, defense plays, offensive plays. It took a lot of different guys making plays and contributing for to find a way.
Yeah, so you need a little bit more excitement than that.
You seem not to be convinced by it.
Not quite. Now, let me ask you this about the game. Now, do you remember they were like on the goal line, right? Mm-hmm. And apparently their iPads the Kindles, whatever they use to call the plays, went out, right? Mm-hmm. And they had to call the timeout because Kurt couldn't get the play in. They couldn't mm-hmm. give the Kurt. Then they came back immediately after that and took a delay of game.
Right.
What I'm wondering is,
what did Kurt, you talk about during the time?
Yeah. Kurt knows the playbook. Right. Why you just call a play, Kurt? You don't have to wait for that. See, this is what I'm saying. You know, full disclosure, I'm an RG3 fan.
You're not exactly.
I'd rather have RG3 playing.
I thought about you when Kurt ran for that touchdown. I was like, man, it sure is good to have a quarterback in there that can run.
Yeah, man, we wish we could find one of those. But Kurt's been having an outstanding year in terms of the numbers, right? He's throwing for like 75% or something like that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the take charge, when you absolutely got to take control of this team, that was a position that could have cost them, right? Mm-hmm. It could have cost them dearly. Kurt, call a play, right? You just call a sneak. Call something mm-hmm. until they get that stuff straight. You know, you can't be the automaton all the time and just do what the coach wants, man. Mm-hmm. That's where you develop your leadership. You put your mark on this team. You are not a part of this team. You are this team, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when the coaches talk about the Patriots, when people talk about the Patriots, they talk about Belichick, they talk about Brady, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
You know, Kurt, you got to put your name on this team, man. They got we went here. Mm-hmm. Cousins and Gruden, right?
You know, right.
Doesn't have
the
that flow to it yet.
Duo.
Yeah, you don't have that flow to it yet. But well, Gruden and Cousins, right? You got to have that. And
well, that's a good question because now, coming into the season, especially once he made the announcement that Kirk Cousins was going to be the quarterback for the remainder of the season, you knew that these two were going to be married by the hip. That is going to be these two, ride or die, you know, sink or swim. It's going to be these two. The question now is, you know, and again, with things in perspective, it is the 6-7 team, and yeah, possibility of winning the playoffs, and they are getting winning the NFC East, and they are getting better. But you know, will Kirk get that? Because this is a contract year. Will he get that long extended contract to continue being the quarterback of the Washington Redskins?
He's earned it. He has definitely not done anything not to earn it. I mean, even if he does not take this team to the playoffs,
suppose they lose the next three games and they go 6-10.
And you would have to look at what Kurt's part was, okay. You know, because then, I mean, they have, you know, you can call them excuses. I call them reason. If you look at, like, the injury situation on this team, like, look at what happened to the secondary from D-Hall to Culliver mm-hmm. to now mm-hmm. maybe Breland, right, having to play a converted wide receiver at corner, right? Look at, you lost both your middle linebackers, right? You know, you lost people, you lost Jason Hatcher for mm-hmm. a while. You know, that's part of this rebuilding thing. I mean, that's legitimate reasons for this team not to be as good as it could be, and none of those are Kurt's fault. So mm-hmm. if you're looking at it objectively, you have to see. We'll find
out. I'm very proud of you for that, for stating that, Kevin, because you are looking at this rather objectively.
Okay, he's giving me plenty of material. But, you know, you we'll see what's on this team's mind if they don't give it to him, right? You know, we'll absolutely see what's on this team's mind because he's done everything in his power to have the right to earn that.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's it won't be like in Baltimore that the conversation I always have, is Flacco an elite quarterback? Who cares if he's elite or not? He's taking the team to the Super Bowl they won.
That's what exactly. You've got a winning quarterback in there. He's won Super Bowls. What are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about?
That's sports radio stuff that you hear everywhere else.
Yeah,
but
we're not going to do that foolishness.
No,
it's the Federal Football Report. He's Kevin Stanford. I'm Claude Jennings. We've got my 3-year-old in the studio. He's going to come back with probably just about as good analysis I can give you. We've got more stuff we're going to talk about from what's next for the Skins. We'll take a look at the final three games, just like we did last week, except last week was the final four games.
So
we're
going to
do the same thing this week and look at the final three, and we'll do some holiday party
and
talking.
And we're
going to
talk about the Bears
stuff
for a little bit, too, because they had a part in this thing, too.
There you go. That's a good point. They did play someone. They beat the Bears.
Yeah.
And so we'll have all that coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM online at federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Going to wrap up this good old Redskins win 24-21 over the Chicago Bears on the road. The Redskins get their first road win. Thank goodness for the solid play at home. 6-7 record, tied for first in the NFC East. Maybe a 3-way tie, depending on how the game ends tonight with the Giants and the Dolphins.
Wait a minute. This is December, man. This is December.
And we're talking about meaningful football.
We're talking about the first road win. You know, this is why this is so strange.
It's all strange. Like, first road win. In December, right? First place for the NFC for the NFC East title at 6-7, but then also pretty good weather in Chicago in December. Like, it's all weird this year.
Yeah, although, hey, look, I got to say this too, man. You got to love high def TV because I'm standing there. You see the little little raindrops forming on the helmets and stuff, man. It was tight. I
like
love
you're there. Turn the surround sound on. It's like I'm there.
Exactly. You know, one thing that we didn't mention in the first half.
Bears.
Because the Bears, they did come back. The Bears were down 14-0 and could have folded, right? Because they've had problems this year too. They're trying to make a playoff. They've had some up days and they had some down days, but they had the whatever it took to come back, right?
No, absolutely. Tie it up in the third quarter, I believe. Yeah. And what was interesting, so I started thinking, here are those third quarter jitters that had gotten the Redskins earlier in the season. Like, will this be another second half collapse?
Yeah, but then fortunately for us, and unfortunately for them, Jay Cutler was on the other team. And he has to be frustrating for a coach because sometimes he would just make a play. He'll find a guy and just make a play. But then sometimes, like the sack a couple of the sacks, that came from not his blind side. Mm-hmm. He got blindsided from the front. And I'm like rooting for the other team, right?
Right. Yeah.
But
no.
Troy Murphy came in one time and just hit him full flesh right in the
and
face.
He's just staring it right there. You know what? It's funny because Ron Jaworski has said this before, that you know it's an enigma with Cutler because you see this guy who throughout his career had the body type, had the arm. You know what I mean? Like he looked like a guy who would be one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. But for some reason, it's like he just can't put it all together to get to that next step. And we're not even talking about next step like Tom Brady, Drew Brees next step, or Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about next step like Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger next level. You know what I mean? And like he just seems to stay on that bottom tier of quarterbacks when he has all the physical attributes of what you would assume a great quarterback would be.
Even in that final drive, their final drive when they were down by three and were going to potentially tie or win the game, he made some fantastic throws. There were guys running wide open on the field. He found them and hit them. But then the last series, he was throwing the guys. He would do it low and behind.
It was really odd. It was really odd. So the deep pass, you get that. And then like for some reason, you can't move the ball anymore. Now you got to settle for a 50-yard field goal. It was really just kind of weird to me the way the whole thing ended. But I mean, you know,
even up to the field goal, because when the guy missed the field goal, he didn't just miss it by a little bit.
Right. He's a solid kicker. He usually good from there.
But he was like he was shooting to like the broadcast booth or something, right? It wasn't near the goalpost. It was just, you know.
Had enough leg, just no direction.
Just no direction. It was so strange.
Really kind of odd.
But we'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. No one asks how you win them. They just want to know how many of them did you win.
First place, baby.
Exactly.
First place.
Right now we've got 6 of those wins, the Redskins 6-7. And so coming up in the last segment, we want to spend some time talking about the next couple of games for the Washington Redskins. But right now, we're going to take a break from the football talk. We were able to preview movies the last couple of weeks. This week, no movie to preview, but it's the holiday season, so why not talk about some Christmas parties and holiday parties that we've been going to as far as some of our jobs. Now, I went to a Christmas party for one of my radio gigs, and it was really kind of a boring one, because if you know anything about radio, especially if you work for a big network that's not even local, which is one of the networks that I have the privilege to work for, everything's just kind of local. So there's like 5 of us who work on one show, and one of the guys left, so there's 4 of us who worked on one show, and so, you know, we had a little party at a restaurant. It's just us and our wives, and, you know, we're just kind of looking around, eating, laughing, and joking, and nothing really happened. I mean, it was for lunch. It's a morning show. We get to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. We were tired by 11 o'clock. We wanted to leave, and so we had a boring Christmas party, you know, for us, but it was a great, it was a nice restaurant. It was pretty fun, but we didn't have those big corporate kind of ones, because our network's located in Dallas, and so that was our fun Christmas
well, you know,
party.
We got to mention our parent company, WTOP, traffic news, weather, and the A's, right? You know, that they have I don't know if it's 12 days, but a daily Christmas celebration where every day has its own theme. Like today, the theme was an omelet station, right? And they had like omelets to order and fresh waffles here. Let me tell you, though, but that was for the people who were actually here in the morning for breakfast, right? They didn't
realize,
right, the Federal Football Report isn't a morning show, right? So, Sue, if you're listening, we love you, but, you know, we eat omelets. We were like, McDonald's has breakfast all day?
We do breakfast.
We can do it all day, too. But, they you know, it's very cool around here. Like, they'll have games one day, and they'll have lunch, or maybe have your car detailed one day. So, It's very cool. So, people are into the holiday spirit, right? They want to make things festive this time of year for the employees who work so hard all year long, and I think that's very cool. Now, I'd like to share this experience with you. I got to be very careful because I know for a fact that people at my wife's job listen. Right? I know this for a fact. Now, last week, I had the...
Beautiful people.
I had the opportunity to... Beautiful people. Love them all. Had the opportunity to attend my wife's company Christmas function. Okay. I had that opportunity. Now, when I was a younger man, I would say, I get to go to a Christmas party. Mm-hmm. As I become older, I say, I got to go to a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you now, this was a fabulous event, but after a while, she's been at this job for a few years, but after a while, you see the same patterns developing, right? Because everybody's kind of stiff at first, and they're there with some people that they don't get along with all through the year, You know, but here's the one thing they all have in common. If you have like a fancy catered Christmas party, women be wearing them dresses, man. It's like they got the dresses. Like, I've been waiting
all year to wear this dress.
I'm going
to
wear it. I don't care if you like me or not. I mean, and they were beautiful gowns, right? Yeah. They're very, because this sounds
like a really elegant event.
This was a law firm, gowns. So people are very, you know, they're classy. They're smart. They're sharp. It was catered well, right? You know,
food good.
Food was great. And alcohol was flowing.
Mm-hmm. So then by the time we got 20, 30 minutes in,
right. Now, you know, it was kind of funny because during dinner, the guy was there, one of the DJs was there, and the guy was singing Frank Sinatra. Okay. And it was cool, right? Everything was mellow. But after dinner, I mean, after the alcohol started flowing a little bit, it goes from Frank Sinatra to...
And once that happens, they're all on the dance floor, and if anything goes at that point.
Yeah. Now, this is me. Now, you please forgive me. Now, we live in tumultuous times here. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sensitivity about a lot of issues, right? And this firm has people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that this is an American social phenomenon, this wobble thing, line. You know, I know you got a lot. But
people from all over the world.
There's people from Japan. And there was this one couple there.
Uh-huh.
And please, if you're all listening, you know, forgive me. I don't have a Japanese translation. And forgive me if this sounds stereotypical, but I felt that I was being so stereotypical because I looked at her and I said, wow, she's rolling. Where did she learn how to do that? I'm serious. I didn't mean any harm. And so I went and did a little research, right? And I said, you know, is this wobble thing popular all over the world? And it is. It is.
I wouldn't have assumed that.
I wouldn't have assumed it, but, you know, they didn't come to this country and learn the wobble. I'm talking about the immigrants, right? They brought the wobble with them. Right? You know, they said, why are you moving to America? Well, you know, job opportunities is the land of the wobble, right? You know? So it was so cool, man. It was so cool, right? I really, really enjoyed that, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
And let me wind all that up by saying that, and as the evening went on, I found something about, I'm not a big drinker, right? You know, but I've seen alcohol at work. And when alcohol won't...
I've seen alcohol at work.
Yeah, it doesn't change a person.
Oh,
alcohol...
It makes you who you are.
Right, yeah. It magnifies who you are.
Yeah.
And what was happening was, and my wife was pointing this out to me, like people who didn't get along, or say this was a really rough person to work for, they were on the dance floor, they were laughing and smiling, and nobody was lewd or loud or anything. And they were just like, everybody was truly enjoying themselves. And it was really an amazing thing, right? So it was a combination of attending a festive event and a study in sociology for me, right? You know, in sociology. But it was really fun. And being in a law firm is a high-stress profession,
right?
And
you know, people really look forward to these Christmas parties.
Yes, indeed.
another thing, I mean, especially, you know, at law firms and stuff, you know, you get a lot of D.C. transplants. And so a lot of people are here during the holidays, and they're not from here, you know?
Right,
and so they don't have the ton of family and friends that they do. And this is the one little kind of release during the holidays that they may have to spend with family or with coworkers and stuff like that here, because they don't have family and friends here, because they moved here because of job opportunities and things like that.
Right,
and
right.
So, you know, they look forward to this Christmas party.
They
because,
really do.
Trying to get out on that dance floor.
Especially women in their dresses,
wobble.
Right?
Yeah. You know? And what's so funny is it never ceases to amaze me, because this is the same phenomenon at weddings. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the dresses and the gowns are flowing at those too. And it never ceases to amaze me that no matter how tight a dress is, they can still do the wobble. I don't understand how you are moving in that dress?
I don't think I got paid for the wobble. I don't know if he got paid or not. I mean, it seems like there should be some type of like royalty that he'd get every time somebody played. If so, he'd be up there with Bill Gates, right?
Right. Be a rich man.
Evan, let me ask you this, man. This is so stereotypical again, man. Why do people even wear shoes to these things, right? Because halfway through, they take the shoes and just throw them off to the side, right, and dance barefoot. Right?
I've never gotten that. What's so interesting? It's not even Christmas parties where you're dancing. I've seen ladies in church.
Yeah.
You know, they wear the heels from the car to the church,
right?
And then by the time service is over, they're walking around in flats with the heels in their hands.
Right.
If you can't wear the shoe all the way through, I don't understand why you're wearing it.
But you know that doesn't work that way, man. If that shoe looks good,
yeah, somebody's got to see me walking in this. And you know, before it's all said and done. You're right.
The expression.
Good,
right.
I'm going to do whatever
I can do. If the shoe fits, doesn't matter. I'm going to wear it anyway. Right?
Right. Fits or not, I'm going to wear it. Somebody's going to see
shoe,
me
right.
in it. All right.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
It's a grand time, man. It's an amazing time. And I was texting you.
Yeah, we were texting.
Because I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. Because like I said, you know, it was like, and you don't know anybody, right? That's the thing. When it's an office party and you're the guest. As a matter of fact, I meant to bring my name tag there, because they had like the name tag to tell us what you were going to eat. They had it there, right? It was there, like you know, Mrs. Stanfield.
Yeah.
I thought mine was going to say Mr. Stanfield, but it didn't. It said Mrs. Stanfield and guest. I said and guest. Well, does that mean she had the option to bring in somebody else?
She might not have been sure whether you were going to be the one coming or not, I guess. I don't know. No, I'm pretty sure.
That's what they were assuming, right? But I had to prove them differently, right? Yes, there is a Mr. Stanfield.
Absolutely.
Right, yeah.
No, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We're talking about holiday parties. I actually have, because again, I work several jobs. I have another one coming up on the, I think it's the 21st, which is Monday coming. And so that Monday night. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully it's a exactly. I have a feeling. Now this one, you know, knowing the folks that are there, we're going to definitely be out there wobbling, and I'm pretty sure the drinks will be flowing and high demand. And this is how we do on the Federal Football Report. Yeah, we bring you lifestyle and sports, because that's what we do here.
I wonder if they're going to have, like, I was telling them, like, they had the 12 days of Christmas at the Omni Station. This and that. What if they're going to have, like, a wobble day, right?
Why not?
In the glass and clothes nerve center, right? You know, traffic on the 8th wobbled on the 9th, right? You know?
Exactly. Unbelievable. So the Redskins win. Man, that's funny. Kevin, 24-21 in Chicago, setting them up for what's going to be an interesting last three games, because again, tied with the Eagles, depending on the results of the Monday Night Football game with the Giants and the Dolphins, could be a three-way tie. Last three opponents, Bills, Eagles, Cowboys, those last two divisional games are going to be huge, especially with the Eagles. The Cowboys will likely be out of it, at least mathematically, by that last game. Right now, it's just a formality. I mean, mathematically, not eliminated, but virtually, basically, eliminated from the playoff contention. So
you watch any of that game, man?
I watched parts of it. I did not watch the complete game. I had a few other obligations I had to do that night, Sunday night, so I didn't watch the entire game.
It's another bizarre game, man, because it came out, Darren McFadden ran for like, had one run, it was like 400 yards, right? You know?
Yeah.
And then
Matt Castle throws an interception, you know, in the end zone, and says like, oh, here it goes again.
And the league, Dez Bryant got robbed again of another fantastic catch.
What is it about Dez in Green Bay that all of a sudden, like, he gets all these calls against him?
Hey, Troy Aikman had a fabulous line. He said, the commissioner said they're going to put together the committee to discuss what exactly is a catch and not a catch. He said, and Dez Bryant is going to insist that he's on that committee.
No, absolutely, because it seems like he always, that, you know, for the second year in a row, in the same exact place, he gets hosed on a call. And so we're going to talk a little bit later. That voice you hear in the background, by the way, is our special guest, a 3-year-old. Claude Jennings III.
Yeah, because he thought it was a catch.
Yeah, he doesn't understand either, you know, as he eats his Cheerios and drinks his milk. So we'll be back to preview the Redskins' final three games, and we'll give you our wins and losses and our thoughts on whether they'll win or lose any of those three games coming up next on the Federal Football Report.
WFED.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report. It is the final segment for this show. Look, I don't care how we do it. At this point, you know, it's like, Kevin, you look at the situation, you're like, you know what, if we're here, we might as well just keep going.
Hey, you know what?
I don't care about ugly wins.
I'm glad you said that.
An ugly win is better than a good-looking loss.
I'm glad you said that, because I got a little sound here from Jordan Reed and from Ryan Kerrigan, from Trent Williams and from Potbelly.
Pot Roast.
Yeah, him too, right? Who had a sack, who was so inspired by playing against his old team that he got a sack. Where has that been? You know, you can do the same thing against other teams, right? You know, so getting that guy, that's the coach's job, getting that out of Potbelly,
right,
and having them do that every single game. But check out what their perspective on this win was.
Gives us confidence that we finally got over that hump. Now we just need to get over this next hump and get this two games in a row.
No, wait. That's a milestone for them. That's an achievement, according to Jordan Reed, winning two games in a row.
Yeah, we got over one hump, which is, I guess, five wins.
You got over the five-win hump. You got over the road win hump. Mm-hmm. We got over that two games in a row hump.
Yeah, we're good. Now we're looking at something. Right.
Okay, that was Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
Gives us confidence that we finally got over that hump.
Now you have to say it again.
Get over this next hump and get this two games in a row.
We needed this, obviously not just for the division race, but just I think mentally as well. You know, when you can win on the road in tough environment like Chicago against a team that's also going for fighting for a playoff spot, I think that'll do a lot for us psychologically going.
Now, I don't know about you, but it didn't look to me like this environment was but so tough.
Yeah, traditionally hostile, sure.
Right, right. Now, it seemed like it was a tougher environment playing at home against the Cowboys the week before, right? You know,
and even 2 weeks before that against the Giants at home, when it was all that blue there,
can you imagine,
might have been more hostile.
Can you imagine if this team beats Seattle in the first round, then has to go to Carolina? You know, if they make it to the Super Bowl, DC fans, you earned it.
All right. Might be the last.
Maybe we proved ourselves we can win a close game on the road.
Maybe.
But
that's true.
Other than that, it's a week by week basis, case by case, team by team. You know, everybody will get a different feel. We'll have a different game against different opponents. So, I mean, we can definitely build confidence off this win.
Don't count.
Now. Wait, you know what? This is what you heard there was just your typical sound. Of course, it's week to week because there's only one game. And you have different opponents every week. Yeah. Tell us something we don't know.
Yeah,
what
it
are you
seems
talking
to me,
about?
Trent, though, I think he was being more realistic than the rest of them because Trent was saying, man, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen week to week, right? We'll see. We do our best, but you know, I'm just as surprised as Kevin McClellan right now, right? Because we 6-7, and we go over the playoff, we're in first place, but I know something ain't right about this, you know, but we'll take it. You know, we'll get a playoff check if I go, and I'll cash it.
But
something ain't right. All right, let's see what Potbelly has. I mean, excuse me, Potbelly has to say.
Out, man, and we got three games left. Two out of three is on the road. Mm-hmm. And we have to have the same mentality we had coming here and execute, and then, you know, really, we got to win the rest of them.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, it would be nice to win the rest of them. And we'll take a look at that schedule. So the other three games on the schedule, the Bills come to FedEx. That's coming up this the 20th, this Sunday. And then they've got the Eagles in Philadelphia and then the Cowboys to close the season. That's at Dallas. Kevin, what do you see this week coming up for this game against Buffalo?
Well, Buffalo had a tough loss this past week. Tyrod Taylor, who's been like surprising some folks as a starter in Buffalo after he was a serviceable backup for Joe Flacco.
And I believe, the elite quarterback.
Yeah, the elite Joe Flacco. And I believe has a Super Bowl win because of that, right? Mm-hmm. Super Bowl ring, mm-hmm. right? You know, so I'm expecting a Rex Ryan-led team to at least try to have some fun. I don't know if they think they're going anywhere this season or not, but I expect Rex to have some fun, at least trying to mix it up a little bit with Kurt. And, you know, if anybody can have a scheme to maybe take a Jordan Reed or Deshaun Jackson out of a game, I expect Rex Ryan to be able to do that. So on the
Well, because those, unlike his brother, Rob, he actually Rex can actually scheme up a defense. I have no clue why people think Rob Ryan can scheme up defenses, that he's some genius. But Rex can scheme up a defense.
Yeah, yeah. People think it's in the in the DNA, and it's not.
It's not there. It's see where Rob's working now. He's nowhere.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it was the Redskins that ended his coach.
Yes,
his coach
it was.
Tenure.
How ironic is that?
In New Orleans.
So we might be looking for a little brotherly revenge here, man. What about you? What you looking at? What do you think's coming out of Buffalo?
If he's wise, he won't do what his brother did. Yeah. He'll try to stop the Redskins.
Oh, yeah.
I think that. So anyway, they've got that. Then the matchup with the Eagles 2 weeks from now in Philadelphia. I mean, it's early, but it's still a week away, and it's, as we've seen in this division, you know, again, with 6-7 right now being the first place, I mean, we could be looking at a totally different landscape by the time they get to the Eagles game. So they could be tied for first still. The Eagles could be up a game. Skins could be up a game. You know, we don't know, but that seems like that's going to be a really big matchup in 2 weeks. Either way, it's going to be a big matchup. Whether the Redskins win, Eagles lose. Whether they both win, both lose. Eagles win, Redskins lose. Either way, that's going to be a big matchup.
That win for by the Eagles over the Patriots was huge for that franchise. Mm-hmm. It was huge. It gave them a burst of energy or confidence or whatever, because that team had been written off. They were sending Chip Kelly back to college. They were like, you know, it was a revolt, right? It was like Mutiny on the Bounty there. But that win did something for them. They came back, and they, unlike the Burgundy and Gold, won back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm, right.
So they got that going for them, as they said, on Caddyshack, right? So it's going to be interesting that, and you know, a couple of years ago, the league made the decision they would try to have as many of the division games toward the end of the year as possible.
And it's making a difference.
It's
because, again, the Redskins in a really tight race for the NFC East closed with two NFC East opponents. The Eagles, of course, in the last game against the Cowboys and Dallas. Dallas, look, probably at that point, again, we don't know, things have been so topsy-turvy, but if one thing seems likely is that Dallas won't win the division. But why not play spoiler, you know, to the Redskins division hopes? And so we'll see how that goes. And again, with these two teams, you can throw records out the window. But again, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. One thing's for sure, you know, things are so out of whack right now. You know, again, we had thoughts going into the season what a December show for the Federal Football Report would be like. And it's totally off script. I mean, we didn't think we'd be talking about winning the NFC East, meaningful December football, but we've got it, ladies and gentlemen. Look, don't care how she looks, just dance with her. You know, don't care how she looks, just do the wobble with her. You know, the dance one. We're looking at the playoffs, NFC East title. She may not be the prettiest season, might not be the prettiest wins, but we're dancing.
That's right.
Meaningful
that's right.
December football. And we'll have more talk about that coming up next week on the Federal Football Report. Make a bag, get up. I got them shaking, they like.